This morning, I would like to show you something, and for some of the young people here, this might be a bit foreign. But I have here a TV. We can imagine it's a black and white. Well, being that it's off, it might look black and white to you. And it has rabbit ears. Now, this is different. I know growing up, in our basement, we had this TV. And it was black and white, and it had rabbit ears. And the connection was never that good. And so what was helpful to be part of a family of five was when I'm watching a TV show, and I won't tell you there was a Three Stooges, so you didn't hear that from me, okay? Watching the show, and all at once it goes a little fuzzy, and you start moving. Okay, is that good? Yeah, that's good. How about here? No, that's good, right there. So what I like is having younger siblings. As I'm watching the Three Stooges, and I'm watching this, and it goes, I have my brother or my sister say, hey, go back here and move it. And they would move it, and I go, no, move it this way. No, back that way a little bit. No, right there, stop. Okay, and they walk away. No, it messed up. You got to hold it here. And so what was really nice about having siblings while I'm watching the show is I tell them, don't move. Just hold it right here. And they look at me. And I enjoyed the show. So it's really helpful to have young siblings. Now, the other thing we did sometimes was we would try to do this, okay? Have you ever done this before? I heard it works. I'm not convinced at times, but we would hold this and try to get better reception, and you have this, and you go along, and you're like, wow. Okay, hold on, right there. It's perfect. So it was a good thing to have siblings. But that's how our connections were way back then. But today is completely different. Today we have high definition, big wide screen TVs, absolute clarity. Very rarely does your reception go bad for you. And then you go to a movie theater, and you have these 3D glasses you put on. You have this amazing way that you can watch movies. And I think this analogy works well for us today in this fact. You see, this TV with these antennas, with the connections going in and out and a little bit fuzzy at times, that is how we are on earth today when we think about God. And heaven is like 3D, high-definition idea of our connection with God. And we have this amazing opportunity to have a connection with God here on earth, but even more amazing that the King of Kings of heaven will be there in heaven. Now, there was an old Robin Williams movie about heaven that maybe some of you saw. It was a horrible movie. Don't watch it because of this factor. It was Robin Williams talking about heaven and showing pictures of heaven, but it was lousy. It was a horrible movie because God wasn't in it. God was not in the movie. And I think, well, you know, the essence of God in heaven is this, that heaven as essence is the presence of God. And hell, at its essence, is the lack of the presence of God. And so today, we continue our series called A Snapshot of Heaven. I made clear 2 weeks ago when I started this that, you know, it's a little bit like the connections at times. We don't have a completely clear picture of what heaven is going to be like. And at times, when we read the Bible and we read through things, that sometimes it gets a little fuzzy. Sometimes we see or hear things and it doesn't make sense. You see, that's by design. And so as we're looking at the second sermon on the snapshot of heaven, we're looking at a series on the last two books of, last two chapters of the book Revelation 21 and 22. And this is where John gives us vision of heaven. Because you know what God figured? He figured at a certain point, in a certain point in time, that many of us were going to ask, I wonder what heaven is going to be like. And so God gave John this vision. And so everything I say and things about this is maybe my interpretation, and you may have others, and that's fine, because remember, we don't have complete clarity when it comes to heaven. But today we're going to start with Revelation 21, verse 2, and hear these words. It says this: I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So here's this image that John is showing us, this image of like a grand opening celebration, like the first morning of this new Jerusalem coming down and descending here on earth. Have you ever seen a house moved? I was enamored years ago when, about four or five houses down from where we lived in Lancaster, there was this house being moved. And I remember walking by, and I was just enamored that how they can take this house and they take some wood or other things they do, and they lift the house up, and then they take a machine or a truck, and they move this complete house down the street. I'm just amazed at how they can do that. And yet the Bible tells us that this new Jerusalem, this new heaven, will be coming down out of heaven here on earth. The city of God, the new Jerusalem. Now many believe, and you don't have to believe this, many believe that the present heaven that we have now is the new Jerusalem, this new city under construction, and it will at one time descend on this earth, this new earth. And John presents this like a wedding. Now, I've had a couple of weddings that I've done in the last several weeks, so in my mind, I have this freshness of a wedding. And I think what John is imagining and has this vision is that the bride is the city, and there's a wedding between the city of God and his people. And there's an anticipation. Now, you've been to weddings before, right? Most of the time, traditionally, the men will walk up to one side, and the groom will stand right here and waiting. And then all at once, in this church, the doors will open. The mother of the bride, if she's doing her job correctly, is supposed to stand. And everyone else stands and turns to watch the bride come in. And here's the groom in great anticipation of his bride walking down. And I think that's the vision that John gives us, this anticipation, this wedding of the city of God and his people, pointing us to God, this idea that God will be with us. And so this morning, I want to focus in on three parts of this focusing in on heaven. The first one is a word that we use. It's called dwell. Verse 3 says this: I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Do you know that God has an incredible passion to dwell with his people? Do you know that in heaven we will all be together and we will dwell with him? Now, there's a word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, this word tabernacle, this word dwell, this word tent. It means that God is always working at dwelling with us. That's his heart's desire, to dwell with every one of us. And so I would like to go back and go through a few key areas where we see this from the Old Testament to the New Testament of where we see God dwelling. The first one is this: in the Garden of Eden. What a beautiful picture of the Garden of Eden, where God is dwelling with Adam and Eve. And one part in Genesis, it says that there is God walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. I think about that picture, the coolness of the day and God walking with Adam and Eve. God desires to dwell with them, but we know that they rebelled and they were banished from the garden. Paradise was lost. But God's vision of dwelling with us was not lost. The passion was still there. And then we have this tabernacle moment where this ragtag group of escaped slaves from Egypt were wandering around the desert. And God said, I want to establish a nation with you, the nation of Israel. I want to live with you. And for 40 years, these nomadic people who lived in tents, and God said, you know, you're out there living in tents, but I want to dwell with you. And so what's amazing is God said, I want you to give me a tent. I want to tent with you. I want a tabernacle with you. And even in Numbers 2, it says, God said, I want to put my tent right smack in the middle. And how you know whether the presence of God is with you is this. There will be fire, and there will be smoke, and there will be the inner part of this tabernacle tent, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. And you will see visibly balls of fire and smoke, and you will know, God says, that my presence is with you. I'm dwelling with you. And after they wandered for 40 years and things happened, then they ended up in a permanent place, this new place called Jerusalem, the city of God. And David said, you know what, God? You should have a house. Everyone else has a house. You should have a house. So David designed the temple. And he got resources for the temple. But David did not build the temple. His son Solomon built the temple. And there was this grand opening saying, this is the house of God. This is a place for him to dwell. And we move on. And then Jesus comes. He's a proclamation of God's desire to dwell. We talk about Christmas. It's Emmanuel, God with us. He left heaven and came here to planet Earth. And John 1:14 says this, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God is always desiring to dwell with us. And then we have the Holy Spirit. We are reminded our temples, our bodies are a temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit of God. His desire to dwell in us brings us even closer to him. When God said, hey, you know what? This house thing's pretty cool. These other ways I've been dwelling with you, but I got a better idea. How about I dwell within you? That how about all of my power comes within you to help guide you, to help walk with you, this passion of God to dwell. And then lastly is heaven, the grand finale, this new Jerusalem. He says, now this dwelling is complete. You are going to experience me in the fullness of my glory. And you will see me, and you will visibly see me, tangibly see me. And God will say, hey, Lynn, let's talk. We will walk and talk, and God will be our best friend. We will eat with him. We will laugh with him. We will ask him questions and say, God, hey, it's just burning in my head. Why did you do this, God? Do you know that we will be interacting with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Every day, all day, do you know that we will have God's undivided attention? Do you know there will never be a time where we'll say, God say, I'm sorry, I'm busy? No, that is the idea, the omnipresence of God in this fullness in heaven, that we will never have to ever wait in line for anything. God will be with us every day, all day. And our greatest joy, our greatest joy that we will have that in heaven will be He will be with us. That's heaven. But let me tell you something. There is times in my life where I get just a little glimpse of that. Have you ever had a little glimpse of that? Let me tell you the times I have glimpses of that. Oh, I'm not perfect. Doesn't happen all the time. But there's glimpses. When I find myself in the presence of God, when I find myself dwelling with Him, when I hear that still small voice saying something to me and I'm obedient to that, when I lay my head down the pillow those nights, there is an indescribable peace. There's an indescribable thing like, God, you and I, we got something done today. And God nudges us. And we live in this uncanny awareness of God's presence in our life. Have you had those moments? Those days where you get just a glimpse of heaven? When you do, just imagine how much better it will be in heaven. Well, he talks not only about dwelling, but he also talks about illuminating. In Revelations 22, 3 and 4, it says this, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him." And then it says, "They will see His face." Isn't that extraordinary? They will see His face. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know about Moses and others, that God shielded His face from anyone. And the reason He shielded His face from anyone is because they could not handle to see His face in their fallen condition. And so God said, "No, for your protection, I will not show my face to you. Because if you see the face of God, you would probably die." Now here's the amazing thing. This is so amazing. The same thing that if we saw the face of God now would kill us, but in our resurrected bodies, in our new bodies that have been resurrected, somehow we will be able to, when we are in heaven with God, that we will be able to see His face. We will understand Him more clearly. We will know all about Him. And when we see the face of God, I can't wait to see the face of God. Because in the face of God is not just a face. It's much more than that. It is His character, His being, His love. Now some of you who have been in love, some of you who are still in love, you know what that face looks like, don't you? When you have someone that you love and that person loves you, when you look into that face, you see that love. But when you see the face of God, you're going to see more than just love. You're going to see the character of God. You're going to see all these amazing things that God's going to show you. He's going to convey His character through His face. He's going to show His purity and His passion and His joy. And I can't wait. I cannot wait with anticipation to see God's face. Because that sight more than any sight that you have ever seen in your life, will make you happy and satisfied. That joy, that beauty of seeing God's face. And when you're in heaven and you see His face and you're talking to Him, some people think, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, but some people think that once we get to heaven, we go there and we see God's face and we know all about God and it's all over. Done. But I don't think that's true. I think that we will continue to learn more and more and more about God and His character and what that looks like. And in fact, Randy Alcorn says it this way. He says, "We will spend countless millennia exploring the depths of God's being, no closer seeing it all than we first started." It's hard to imagine, but I'm looking forward to it. And then it's not just talking about dwelling and about illuminating, but also about delight. God's commitment is to give us good things, that we would enjoy him and enjoy all his gifts. In Revelation 21:6, to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. So we talk about the source, this water of life, give them to drink. Or another verse, John is getting a tour from an angel on about heaven, and he says this in 22:1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. Have you ever had good spring mountain water? I'm not talking about the kind in the bottle, okay? I mean like out of a mountain stream, that clear crystal water. When you drink it, it's like amazing. No chlorine, none of the other stuff in it. It's just amazing water. But God says when you're in heaven, you will experience water like you have never tasted water before. And this idea of this new Jerusalem here on earth and this mountain with God at the throne of this and then this river just sort of meandering down around it is this river of the source of life. And this river will literally flow through all of the city. Water will be available at any time to taste this amazing water. And God, when he does that, this is what he's saying. He said, I am the source of all good gifts. And that water in heaven is a good example of what that means. And then he talks a little bit about water. He also talks about some other things. In Psalm 36, 8 to 9, we hear about these words. It says this, they feast on the abundance of your house. You will give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Your river of delights. You think you have delights today, and you do. You think about food and family and friends, and you enjoy these things. And all these blessings come from God. But sometimes here on earth, we miss something. We enjoy the gift, but we forget the giver of those gifts. It's called materialism, or we're addicted to stuff. You see, that will not happen in heaven. Because when our resurrection bodies are in heaven, we will continually giving praise to the giver of all these amazing gifts. Because we will be there without sin. We will enjoy all of his blessings. He also talks about water, but he talks about light. In Revelation 22:5, it says, they will not need the light of the lamp and the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. He will be their light. He will be illuminated by God himself. Do you understand what this means? We don't need the sun in heaven. We don't need light in heaven. Because God's face and his illumination will brighten and light up everything around us. And when I thought about that, as I was sitting at the beach and looking at the water, and thinking about the sermon, and thinking about what that might look like, and the beauty of the water around, I thought, man, it's just amazing what kind of gifts that God gives us. Now, the sun was bright, at least a few days, and I thought that light is illuminating out to the water and seeing all the beauty of the water and the dolphins going, and the sun illuminates that, and it makes it beautiful. But in heaven, it's going to be different. In heaven, God will illuminate everything. We will see everything through God's face, through his illumination. And we see that everything will be beautiful and everything will be great. We will see everything through the light of God. It's a tangible reminder that the beauty of God is in everything that we do and everything that we appreciate. So we've had dwelling with God. What that means is we dwell with him is that our best days are ahead of us. And we can enjoy his glory. We can study his word here today. We can look around the world and see his creation. We can dwell with him here on earth. And then we can illuminate. We cannot see his face, but he will show us his glory. Have you seen glimpses of his glory? Look around the world, you will see it. And then lastly, we will delight in his gifts. And I thought, what could that possibly mean for us here on earth? And I thought this, enjoying a cup of coffee and the flavor and the taste of that coffee, we will say, that's good coffee. Thank you, Lord, for making this coffee. Now, I want you, in closing, to imagine this. To imagine that I am back 8 years old, I don't know, somewhere around there, and I'm watching TV. I'm watching the Three Stooges. I'm just being transparent, people, okay? I'm not going to say I was watching something better. I was watching the Three Stooges. I'm watching this. And one of you came back from the future and walked in on me and said, Lynn, what are you doing? I mean, these rabbit ears, these things, I mean, the screen's fuzzy and this and that. You can't believe what's going to happen. I mean, we're going to have 3D, we're going to have HD. These TVs are going to be 60-inch or 72 inches. I mean, it's going to be full color. They're going to be amazing. You're not going to have to worry about those things anymore. The picture is going to be crystal clear. And if you want to go to a movie theater, guess what? You're going to see it not in 2D, but 3D. Now, if that happened, you know what I would do? I'd say, that's nice. Move away. I'm watching the Three Stooges. And I thought about that. I know about that in the future. So let me tell you. It's nice to have high definition. It's nice to have 3D. It's nice to have clarity. It's nice to have full living color. It's nice to have all that clarity. But right now, here today, in the environment that we have been given here on earth, this is what we have. This is what we have. Instead of thinking about what the future might hold or whatever and just say, I'm just going to wait till that happens and I'm going to wait till something better, enjoy the rabbit ears. Enjoy the connections you have with God now. Enjoy the things here on earth. Because the more that we dwell with him here, the more that we let him illuminate us, and the more that we delight in the things here on earth, we will enjoy much better in heaven when it's in full living 3D color. But don't neglect what we have today. Dwell, illuminate, and delight in him. Because these are the best that life is giving us right now. And at times, our visions of heaven, we have to adjust a little bit because it's a little bit fuzzy. The vision that John gave us was meant to be fuzzy, people. It wasn't meant to give us all the answers. And I'm preaching about heaven, and I could be way off. I just continue to pray that God helps me to move the rabbit ears that I can see more clearly about what heaven might be. Because when he does, and when I have clarity here in this earth for just maybe 5 or 10 seconds where this screen is clear, I get a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. And when I get that clear picture, I hold on to that into my mind, and that gives me absolute hope for the future. And that future is heaven here on earth. Let us pray. Lord, we have to trust you. And Lord, even sermons on heaven anymore seem to be out of vogue because life's pretty good here. And Lord, we confess sometimes we've kind of lost our way, that heaven will be a better place. But those that are going through physical difficulties and relational conflicts and others, and many people around this world who are living in poverty, they understand. They look forward to that place where there'll be no more tears, no more illnesses, and plenty of food and drink. Lord, I pray that we would be mindful to not only be so concerned about heaven that we're not any earthly good, but also to not be so concerned about earth that we're not heavenly minded. Lord, give us the balance. Lord, help us to dwell and to illuminate and be delighting in what you have given us here on earth. But Lord, don't let us ever forget and the anticipation of being with you. Lord, I can't wait to tabernacle, to tent, to dwell with you. Lord, it's been great that you sent your Son to dwell with us. Lord, it's great that your Holy Spirit lives in us. But Lord, the day we can see your face is the day that you will show us your full glory. And that day will be like no other day. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.